When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance, coming to you live from above the Heineken River down to Pier 17.
Can we just say best halftime performance ever?
Sure.
I mean, sure.
For me, I mean, I don't care about the halftime performance almost at all. Tell you the truth.
Huh? Why not? Yeah. What are you talking about?
I don't go to concerts and stuff, period. I don't care if I want to listen to music, I put it on.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it was good.
What? But like, you're a hip hop enthusiast. Like, how do you not? How does that
because,
not?
Because it's definitely a moment where you feel like, okay, culture has moved enough now that this can be the halftime show. And it was
finally
obviously,
2022.
By the way, it was obviously superior, but I prefer hip hop to other kinds of music for the most part. So, of course, I'm going to like it more. So it was good and everything. I was happy about it, but it's not like I don't get geeked up about the commercials and halftime show like everyone.
I don't get geeked up about the commercials either, but if they're playing and I'm watching, it's cool. And then this particular halftime show, when you start talking about what I identify with West Coast music, okay, the musicians on the West Coast. You throw Mary in there because she was part of Aftermath, or you throw Eminem in there even though he's from Detroit and 50 is from the East Coast, but they're all part of Aftermath. So you going to dial in different than if it was Bon Jovi. I mean, it's like, oh, okay, cool. I mean, that's just the reality of it. Prince was one that I remember back in Miami because of Purple Rain. It was raining. You look at that sort of stuff, you go, or you got the Janet, Timberlake. Those are the ones that, to me, catch my eye.
Yeah, I hear you.
Janet one did catch your eye, didn't it?
Everyone loved the Prince show. Okay, fine. I barely remember any halftime shows.
I'm not talking about that. Grow up. and not only that, you are grown. You ain't never seen that before, boy? Come on now.
He used the grown and the boy at the same time. It sets you up for it.
As usual, by the way, Chris Rock, I thought, had the best commentary on that whole situation, but it's not repeatable on a family show. I was happy about the halftime show. I found it. I was happy about it. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
I was going to say, so is L.A. Where's L.A. moving in the sports arena in terms of top sports cities now that we got a football championship after having a basketball
Title
2 years
Town.
Ago?
And baseball.
And a Title baseball Town. 2 years ago.
Stupid.
I mean, by the way,
if
L.A. is Title Town, like it could have been. Remember a couple years back, like, is Cleveland going to be? It's more fun when it's L.A. You know, let's be honest about it. So we are presented by Progressive Insurance, as I mentioned, Heineken River Deck Pier 17. That's where we're coming from. The Rams' all-in approach worked, though. You talk about even the Dodgers; they knew when to make key trades that resulted in a World Series. The Rams did the same sort of thing. They won the Super Bowl. Let's not forget what was on the line for Stafford. You can't lose in your first playoff game. McVay and Les Snead, right? Like, you went all in. You got to the Super Bowl. Now you best win it. They did, right? And think about this for a second. Two consecutive years, that's what happened. A team that was, because the Bucs were a little different. They only had 7 wins. But Jameis threw for 5,000-plus yards. He threw a lot of touchdowns, too. Just threw a lot of interceptions. Mm-hmm. Goff did his thing. He went to 2 Pro Bowls, right? But he not good enough. They replaced those guys, the younger kind of quarterbacks finding their way, with Tom Brady, the GOAT, and veteran Matthew Stafford. And then that Tom Brady went out, got Gronk and Antonio Brown, and they got Leonard Fournette. Same thing with the Rams. Odell Beckham Jr., and they went in the second and third round picks on Von Miller. It worked, guys. That's 2 years in a row, home Super Bowl by a team that went all in, starting with a veteran quarterback. Here's Stafford on if he thought he'd ever reach this moment.
I love playing this game. I love playing this game for the competition, for the relationships, you know, for the hard times, you know, for the good times, all of it. This game can teach us so much as people. I get to go to work with people from all walks of life, come together and go for one, you know, one goal. And for 12 years, that goal wasn't reached. It tore me up inside, but I knew I could keep playing and try to find a way. You know, the fact that we reached that goal today is so special.
Yeah, you know, it is special, and I understand exactly what Matthew Stafford is talking about. You know, having played in the NFL for a long time, the one thing that I did not want to do was end my career without having won a Super Bowl championship. And I think when you look at what Matthew Stafford went through in Detroit and the way he was viewed in Detroit, then he goes and comes to L.A. and wins a championship in his first year because the Rams certainly felt this, that he was – going to be the answer for them to get over the top. Do I think that they could have gotten back to a Super Bowl eventually with Jared Goff? I personally do, but Sean McVay's job would have been that much harder. And I think when you look back at situations, Matthew Stafford has 45 fourth quarter comeback wins in his career, including the playoffs. That Jared Goff can't do that. And Jared Goff probably wouldn't have done that. So it's satisfying for me as a fan of sports to see a guy kind of check that box. You know, you don't ever want to go through an entire career, playoffs, not winning a Super Bowl, getting all the other accolades, Pro Bowls, a bunch of numbers, but yet and still you've never won a Super Bowl because that'll be a stain on your career. You look at some guys' careers that don't build up the numbers, Jay, but they got the championship rings.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, oh, that's the champion. No one ever walks around and says, oh, that's the statistical champion.
Nope. And, Keem, so it had me last night, it had me thinking because I'm like, all right. It's funny. I was talking to Gronk and Tony Gonzalez out in L.A. during this event, and we were talking about how teams are reloading, and it reminds me like the NFL, right? And I was like, so in the NBA where it's like free agency and what Tampa Bay was able to do 2 years ago in that game being in Tampa Bay, and then all of a sudden this year with the Rams and how they've reloaded with talent. And I'm thinking, oh, Arizona next year, like, could it be they tried with Zach Ertz and with J.J. Watt and with, you know, all these guys and A.J. Green, it just didn't pan out. But, like, what is a team next year where a couple of guys can come on board and all of a sudden it could just – it hits, man. It hits. And these teams can be formed. Like, I was even joking with Gronk. I'm like, could that be Buffalo for you, Gronk? Like, could you go be a Bill? And what could that team be with you and Josh Allen and all the pieces around you? So, like, I think that's the next – thing that we're
tight
talking
end
about
party?
Here,
you're
right?
At the GOAT tight end party? How you, Gonzalez and Gronk?
It was.
How do you advertise that one? The GOAT tight end party.
But it was just crazy to start thinking about that next year as you see all these new formations that are being put together and how players are looking at it. And even hearing Gronk say, I'm just going to wait to see what happens, what movement goes where, and then if I want to make that decision, I'll pick the right spot.
Mm. Well, the difference in that sort of stuff, though, is Matthew Stafford didn't pick the spot. They picked him. Magically, I don't know how that happened because
– Cabo jacuzzis.
He somehow surfaced in the same jacuzzi with Sean McVay. But I don't know how they just appeared. It's, hey, we're at the resort. Every cocktail's on me. Hey, is your name Matthew Stafford? You play quarterback, right? Would you like to play quarterback for me? So they decided – mm-hmm. to get in front of the Indianapolis Colts that was trying to make a play for Matthew Stafford as well. And Sean McVay knew it. He you got to say him and Les Snead knew it, that he was the better option for this season rather than Jared Goff. And I feel bad for Jared Goff. I really do, because the last thing you want to see is a guy doing what you couldn't do. And it makes, you know, it's just like, dang, you couldn't even get it done, dog.
You know, it's funny because Detroit's an underrated city. I want to say Detroit's one of my favorite cities, totally underrated, and I can go on a whole long list of how great Detroit is and why. However, that's a great city. However, could you imagine you're playing in Detroit for a perennial last place team, basically, and it turns out that this young whippersnapper offensive genius guy out in L.A. of all towns realizes that's who I need. Like, I just, that would really, we could win a Super Bowl. Risks everything to bring you to Los Angeles,
where anything less than a Super Bowl win is a failure, but a win is the greatest success, and you get it done in L.A.?
In year one.
So now it's gravy time. No one can tell you anything now. Everyone knew the Rams were going to Cooper Kupp on the final drive. That's where Stafford was going to look, right? That wasn't even in the game. Yet the Bengals couldn't stop it. We'll tell you why next. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Here's the snap. Here's the knee. The Bengals will not call a timeout. The sidelines empty. Rings for the Rams. A Lombardi Trophy for Los Angeles on their home field in Super Bowl 56. The Los Angeles Rams are world champions.
Last night. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, your smart speakers. Speaking of smart speakers, we are joined. Hey, it's pretty good. Come on, Neek, that's pretty good.
That's good. That's like I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman. You out here laying down bars early in the morning. I see.
Double entendre words.
What's up, Neek, baby?
What's happening, dog? How you doing? You out there? You went to the game?
No, man. I have family. You know, I couldn't go to the game because all my kids. Oh, yeah. And it's just too much.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to stand in line 3 hours to get into a stadium and another three to get out of it. I'm good. I watch it on
TV. You won a Super Bowl, too. It's a different experience going there having already got one.
Dominique Foxworth is giving you the Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. He knows no other way. No contract, no compromise. Neek, first, just like biggest takeaway from the game.
Aaron Donald. They stole an MVP trophy from that man.
I'm with you.
He was like the final drive. Cooper Kupp made a bunch of incredible plays, but those plays were no more important than the plays that Aaron Donald made in the final drive and the rest of the plays that he made in that game. That Rams defense was outstanding. That's going to be one of the things that I remember from this game. And also, Matt Stafford threw a no-look pass on the biggest drive of his life. I don't know if that's I don't know. I don't know what to call it.
Moxie or something
that's the
else.
Word. That's the appropriate word that we could use on the radio for what it is when you throw no-look passes on the most important drive of your life. So, yeah, the game was incredible. What else did I take away? The Rock was kind of weird. That kind of threw me off. At the beginning of the game, when The Rock came out and was trying to get everybody pumped.
You want
like,
Michael Buffer? Like, who do you
nobody. Like, the lead up to the Super Bowl is already like a week long. And they did like four introductions. Every time I looked at the screen, they're like, and now we're ready for the game. We got the Black National Anthem. We got the National Anthem. We got God Bless America. We got this. We got that. And then we finally go to commercial. We come back and I see the guys on the field. I'm like, we about to play. Then we see The Rock out there in two different reds yelling and talking.
He's pretty
about,
good, though.
You smell what he cooking.
Hey, he's pretty good, though.
Neek, let me ask you a question, man. As a defender, right? You played defensive back and you covered receivers and did those things. And this is my interpretation of Cooper Kupp and the respect level that he gets from defensive coordinators. I'm not even going to blame it on the guys who's covering. I'm going to blame it on the defensive coordinators that are out there. Why does it seem to me that there's a lack of respect for his ability as a football player to do things to you that you don't want right. done. So you decide in certain situations to allow free access in the red zone.
Yeah.
Nobody touches him. He runs a speed corner route, six pack. And then at the end of the game, he takes a bite out of an apple because you decide, hey, he's not Randy Moss or Julio Jones or Calvin Johnson or Keyshawn Johnson, so we're not going to double him on a fade route. We're not going to vice him. Why is that?
Yeah, so I think there's an obvious bias that exists there. Like, we could tiptoe around it if we want to.
I'm not tiptoeing.
Yeah, I know you're not, but I mean, most people do. But I think part of it is the way he looks. Like, his complexion makes you think that he don't, or makes some people think he don't got the moves that he has.
People sleep on you if you're a bad white boy. Let's be honest. I know all about it.
But I also think that it was partially about what the Bengals were capable of doing in that game. So they ran man coverage a little bit early on, and they got cooked. Every time they went man, Odell was burning them. Then Odell gets hurt, and they end up doing a lot more zone. That final drive was like cover three, cover four, then cover three, cover three, cover three, and then cover one in like the red zone. And when you're in those type of zone coverages, you can't do much to like lean to a player like Cooper Kupp, because Cooper will play in a slot, he'll play on the right side, he'll play on the left side. They move him all around. And I think that's what it came down to. They had no faith in their ability to play man coverage elsewhere, which made that meant they could not double team Cooper Kupp.
Nick, your ability to do your job is so professional. Because the fact that you're able to answer that question, I still couldn't get over the fact that Key put his same name in the sentence with Randy Moss, and he did it so nonchalantly. He was like, "Yeah, Randy Moss, myself, Keyshawn Johnson."
What am I supposed to say though, Jay? When I know my ability and what people did to take me out of games, what am I supposed to say?
Okay.
Facts are facts.
Okay.
I can put my name with Randy Moss's, and I can put my name with Calvin Johnson's and Julio Jones's. Because I knew my ability and I knew what people did to take me out in situations like that. So,
I mean,
yes,
Jay,
I put
my name with Cooper Kupp just now. So, I think he's allowed to, you know, he's allowed
it,
to.
It wasn't a slight, Key. I didn't say it was a slight, but I'm certainly going to mention myself because I played that position.
Oh, man. Yes. I appreciate that. Like, okay. I think that some people might. Wait for somebody else to throw your name in there because I was getting ready to do it. I thought you was going to stop after Calvin Johnson. I was going to be like, and you, Keyshawn. My man Keyshawn. No. But you were like, I don't need no help. ISO.
Look, Neek, that's the difference between me and some of the other people that you work with. I keep it 100. I'm authentic.
You. I feel you. Tevin Campbell leading us in. That's why I love
Sometimes
doing this
Sometimes if you don't toot your own horn, there's no music. Neek, he didn't know you were about to.
Yeah, I mean, he was setting me up. I was about to give it to him, but he don't need me to, and we all know it's true.
So where's Matthew Stafford at now? Where's his legacy?
He was yesterday. Like, I mean, he's a Super Bowl champion. That's awesome. He didn't get the MVP, which is a rarity, I feel like, for a quarterback. He's had a pretty impressive career and an interesting run here in L.A., and he won a Super Bowl. I think he's going to be remembered as being a lot better quarterback than he actually was, because he has incredible, like, big numbers in. We're going to remember this last run and the no-look pass for the touchdown, game-winning drive. We're going to remember all that. And I think the further we get away from this game, we're going to talk about Matt Stafford like he was one of the greats of his time, when I don't think he
was. Maybe,
but
Neek, I think that's the point. Maybe he was like any team sport, but he won in the right situation to show it.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, the situation in Detroit obviously was not perfect, but I find it hard to believe that a number one overall pick like Matt Stafford, like, he had no postseason success. Like, I'm not trying to rain on the man's parade day if he won a Super Bowl. Like, that was awesome. But I guess I'm reacting preemptively to some of the stuff that I've seen out there already, where we acted like Matt Stafford did that thing. No, he was a good quarterback on an incredible team that got three Hall of Famers on defense, and Cooper Kupp is on his way, too.
Let me ask you this, though, because I was talking to Max and his sidekick Jay. Now you got me going, Jay.
I didn't even know anything.
See, you when you get me going, I'll light a match on your ass. But look,
that's a two-time player.
Let me ask you this though. So if I took, and I told them this earlier, so if I took Matthew Stafford, and let's just clear our minds, and I put him with the Rams, for instance, and he was going to playoff games. You know, and they would get bounced in a wild card or a divisional round, and then they miss, and he had the same numbers that he had in Detroit, and then all of a sudden he gets Sean McVay and he wins a Super Bowl. Do we look at that different for him, or is Detroit so stained that we can't get that out of our mind?
I mean, I think that the Detroit stain is hard for us to get out of our mind, but I think that people who watch those games understand that Matt Stafford was not good enough to overcome whatever issues there were in Detroit, but he also was part of the problem in Detroit. Like, he had a lot of comebacks in Detroit, but he also had a lot of early game interceptions that put them in that situation. He's an above average quarterback that got in the perfect situation and balled out.
I want to focus right there, because I hear what you're saying, Neek. I do think Stafford is a fascinating case because he's the number one overall pick, and you could see the arm talent. Like, he was always like top five arm talent in the league, always, sometimes top three arm talent in the league. But he's in Detroit. So I know what you mean. Eyeball test, he's not Favre or Elway, right? Where if you took the championships away, we think of them a little different, right? But he's so, like, I think we have him pegged, right? But he's in the Hall of Fame now, right? After that, he has all those touchdowns, all those yards, all the arm talent, and now a Super Bowl to go with it.
Yeah, he's probably going to go. I mean, he's going to go. There's a lot of guys in the Hall of Fame. I guess I don't think about him the way that I think about some of those guys, like the guys who have gone in recently, like Peyton Manning, guys like that. Like, I don't think about him like that, but he won a Super Bowl. That was the one thing left on the resume. Well, I guess the one thing left was get a playoff win, so he did that this year. He also won a Super Bowl this year, so sure, go ahead, Hall of Fame. Everybody gets a bus.
What are your thoughts?
Oh, no, he kept
everybody gets a car.
He kept throwing – he kept – refusing to accept his fate against Tom Brady, against Joe Burrow. I was very impressed with the way he held it down this playoff.
Let's talk about fate for a second. What are your thoughts on OBJ?
I mean, it was painful, man. Like, I love seeing him. I think most of us love seeing him get there and start balling out again. And I love the beginning of this game. He was doing his thing. And then when he grabbed his knee and went down, like, that was crushing. And then to see him, like, it seemed like they were tears of joy, but there was some pain mixed in there at the end. I think he's a free agent after this year, so, like, I hate to see a guy be pulled out of the biggest game of his career, but also I hate to see a guy's money messed with, and both of those things happened to that guy last night. So
I was going to say, what happens moving forward?
I mean, he came back from the last knee injury and still was impressive, so I think somebody's going to pay him, but
it's
not
the same knee.
Yeah, but not at the level. I mean, he's going to get it repaired again, I assume, but not at the level that I think he deserves. But last night was an awesome night and a fun game to watch.
Caught the first touchdown
of
the Super Bowl.
He was on track to be the MVP himself.
He was for sure on track. Neek, did they actually say what the injury was?
No,
I haven't heard.
I don't think
we could just assume, right, based on we've seen that kind of reaction many times over. And it's a crazy thing because I've been texting with the dude. We were going back and forward over the last couple of days. Just texting, just about being in the Super Bowl and life and just all of those sort of things. And when that happened to him, as soon as I saw it, you know how I react to stuff, Max. I'm like, God, it is just one of those deals. Yeah. I think the Rams keep him, though. I think the Rams, they like him. He likes, obviously, living in L.A.
It's a great situation for him, Key.
It's a great situation for him. I don't see him moving. I mean, he won't ever make the $20 million a year again, but it'll be something where he's happy and satisfied because they gave him the opportunity to kind of rebuild a reputation that people like Jay Will put out there about him on social media.
So sensitive.
On social media.
What did I say about
I told OBJ? You, you. Hey, I told you I'm gonna light your ass up from here on out.
So
I'm gonna
Neek
light
I
you.
Had the same reaction.
I'm going to light
I
you
said
up.
It.
I'm gonna light you up the rest of the show.
You got it, Randy. You got it.
The crazy fun, thing man. About Odell too is he was bracketed basically his whole career. Yeah. Right now, this year, especially in this game, they have to worry about Cooper Kupp. Now you're going to put at best your second best guy on Odell Beckham. He is going to eat. Yeah. He might have wound up with three touchdowns in this game. Like, I agree. I looked at this game like, pardon me, this may be lopsided until he got hurt.
Yeah, Wuzier is their best corner, but they don't really have, like, a Ramsey-type guy. So you kind of – the offense, when it's that case, the offense determines the matchup. Like, you can put your guy wherever and determine who's going to cover him because they don't follow him around. So they were putting him in the left slot and putting Cup wide on the right side, and he was getting hit Hilton in the slot. And it's like, that ain't fair. Then they running crossing routes with a guy. Like, I don't know. I mean, no matter – the thing about Odell Beckham is he reminds me of Tyreek Hill in that he has the straight-ahead speed and the quickness, which is a tough thing to cover in man coverage. And they were trying it early on, and he was running away from dudes. He was about to have 150, 160, two or three touchdowns. The game, I don't think the game would have been close because that's when their offense stopped moving.
Can't take like it away from him, though. Yeah. He caught the first touchdown in the Super Bowl for the winning team. He did it.
And he nailed the moonwalk in cleats, which I didn't think he could do that. I didn't think you would do moonwalk in cleats. That was the play of the game.
It was like $200,000 cleats, by the way.
No, you can get it. You can get it in cleats. You remember, you know, the cleats only got the one stud in the front.
Yeah.
You only got the toe. That's all. You know, and have all
moonwalk.
The rest of the stuff around.
I can't
moonwalk. The moonwalk is hard enough.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I can't moonwalk in slides, let alone cleats. You can hit the moonwalk, Keyshawn?
Can I?
Yeah.
For sure. 100%.
Oh, man.
Oh, back in the day, Cam Randy Moss.
Nick, I thought I was a little Michael Jackson back in the day, man.
Nick, Cam Randy Moss, moonwalk and cleats?
Man.
It's a follow-up question.
You are really asking for it.
I ain't say I was Randy Moss. I know what level I played at.
But you got doubled. Big games, they was doubling.
Look, coming after the break.
But I don't want to take any personal shots here.
Yeah. Facts.
You know, can J.J. Redick hit a free throw? Don't get me started. Leave me alone.
Hey, he didn't get two-time national.
A little later in the show, Jay is going to tell you why he's like Michael Jordan.
Two-time.
Okay, just a little bit later in the show.
Who are you?
I already told you.
Who are
just
you?
Just a bad white boy. You
okay, Cooper
Kupp.
That's right.
He's the guy that elevated Tom Brady's career.
I'm the motivation for Tom Brady's career.
True.
What more do you want? You want me to bring him out of retirement? I'm considering it. All right, look. Thank you,
Nick.
Dominic
it's been
Foster.
Great.
Appreciate y'all.
All right, Nick.
As always, we've talked about Aaron Donald. Nick just said MVP of the Super Bowl. I agree. But what about another key member of the Rams championship? Tune in to the ESPN Daily Podcast, which brings you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. All right, time for key observations.
Number one,
Sean McVay. When you look at Sean McVay, he is not retiring to go take television. Why would you retire at 36 years old to go into TV when you certainly can be chasing Bill Belichick at some point in time to become one of the greatest coaches in NFL history? I understand the allure. I understand the comparisons to a guy who once was in television that was his mentor. But you and I both know he is not going anywhere other than back into the lab and getting ready for the combine so he can run this thing back again.
Number two.
This was a huge week for the Rams on and off the field. The Rams win the championship, no question about it. But think about it this way. There's a guy named Van Jefferson at the receiver position, just had a child last night. OBJ is expecting one, and Taylor Rapp gets married. Unbelievable, not married, engaged, I'm sorry, on his way to being married. He scored again. He outkicked his coverage with that one.
Number three.
Can the Bengals be a threat for a long time to come in the National Football League? I believe so, but they certainly must do some things. Shore up that offensive line. Jonas Williams was their best tackle at the left tackle spot out of Alabama from the California area. Then the secondary. They've got to figure out what to do with some of that because they can't play with Eli Apple out there allowing people to just bunny hop him week in and week out.
Number four.
I would say that we talked about it earlier. Here's my voice. I would say the best halftime show ever was led by Dr. Dre. It was so crazy. The big board that he had was white. I had no idea it was functional. You know the risk that he took putting that thing together in five minutes for a show that he conducted with some of the top talent in the hip-hop community? Unbelievable, Jay Will. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Number five.
Now, I'm a harp on this as far as I can go. The officials in the football game, the Zebras, the Stripes, they respected Cooper Kupp more than the Bengals defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is Cooper Kupp is so good. When you're a good player in sports, Jay, you can't be touched. People can't breathe on you without a foul being called or flag mm-hmm. being thrown. The fact that they touch Cooper Kupp, the ref said, holding number 55 of the Bengals. Like, that doesn't happen unless you're a star. He got the respect of the officials, which eventually led to a touchdown to win the game.
Yeah, he did. And when you think about the officiating guys, these are good observations. We get to make they have all week to talk about this. But when you think about the officiating,
I
can't believe they even asked that. Kia,
they stayed out of the way all game, even to the point where that T. Higgins face mask. That was like, I mean, it was blatant on TV, right? But and no call there. They didn't see it, I guess.
Key, how do you not make that call on that play?
Well, you couldn't see it. It just looked like T kind of grabbed around, like kind of was pulling his arm to get in front of Jalen Ramsey. You can't tell that the helmet happened because everything is moving so fast, and it wasn't like he held on to it and pulled it. He just kind of.
His head did snap, though, Key.
Yeah, but that's in fast motion, and that referee that's chasing from behind can't see exactly what's going on. His body, I mean, his eyes are being shielded by T. Higgins' body.
No, and that was 100% it led to the catch because it threw Ramsey right past him.
Yeah, of course, but that doesn't mean that the ref didn't think that he was swimming through him, which he is allowed to do as a receiver. To swim through him to go and get the football.
Nevertheless, that was a big miss, Keith. Now, then at the end,
I don't know if it would have been a pick or not because he would have got it at the highest level. T. Higgins about 6'6", man. Yeah,
hard to say that would be, but we wouldn't have been that.
The ball was underthrown.
I agree.
Though.
So, but now the game's going to be decided, and it's flag. It's like it's constant. Including, and I was looking at Jeff Schwartz, the retired offensive lineman's Twitter, and he had video that he had retweeted on a false start, right? Like you're talking about an offensive lineman jumping, right? And on that same play for the Rams, and on that same play, they called defensive holding. You know, like, that should have never happened in the first place. And on top of that, defensive holding was ticky-tack.
No, it's not ticky-tack. I'll say it again. Some of us get calls in professional sports that, you know, when you do certain things like Randy Moss, Keyshawn Johnson, you know, Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, you know, you get those calls when you don't expect them. And they just like you and they see you and Cooper Kupp. It's like, oh, we like Cooper Kupp. He's our guy. Well, and they just go, boom.
It was
when you ball out, Evan, that's what they do. They help you.
Well, it was also they put a linebacker on him in the slot. And I said it pre-snap. I looked at the linebacker. I'm like, how's a linebacker going to cover Cooper Kupp here on third down? And it was almost like the officials had the same thought and threw the flag because they expected a holding there because they didn't think that Wilson, the linebacker, could cover Cooper Kupp.
I think that's a great point. It's not even like they're looking like, oh, we got our eye on this now. So if it was a little ticky-tack, they're not going to miss that one. Let's put it that way.
What I was talking about being egregious from the defensive coordinating standpoint of the Cincinnati Bengals. You didn't even go into dime or nickel personnel on third down.
Yeah.
You decided to leave a linebacker on the field because – you don't even respect the fact that that's Cooper Kupp, but the officials do.
With no Odell Beckham in the game. Odell is out of the game.
Sometimes you get calls, Jay, you know.
Sometimes it happens, Key.
It's like
go ahead and preach it, brother. Go ahead and preach it.
Did you get calls when you won the national title, when you were two-time player of the year?
I'm not in that same conversation. I'm just, you know, I'm just taking
oh, look
notes.
At that
no,
modest.
Man, they gave him to Carlos Boozer. They gave the calls to Boo.
Why do you get so sensitive?
JJ got calls.
Sensitive.
I think one of the things with Cooper Kupp, to be really, is also that was a team where you had him and Robert Woods for the longest, and they both would put up numbers like if you play draft, you know, like you play daily fantasy, you know, like, I don't know, can I take Kupp this week? Because what if it's Woods' turn who gets more targets? And so I think when you start that way, and that goes on for a couple of years, even if you're the lead receiver –
when that other guy isn't there and all of a sudden you're putting up all world, you know, amazing historical numbers, people's brains still have to catch up to that to realize, no, this dude is elite, elite.
No, but like Dominique said a while ago when he was on with, not a while ago, a little while ago when he was on with us, sometimes the skin color plays a part in the way that you are perceived. He's 6'2", 215, man, and can run, can get in and out of breaks and everything. But the first thing they do is they think he is a small little white receiver and not realize the dude really good.
By the way, on the Bucks, what's his name? Scotty Miller. Like, he's the burner on that team, right? Like, there are some guys who get typecast. Everyone gets – there are times where people get stereo, you know, typecast. We've seen the host win the Super Bowl now. Two straight years. Never happened before. Now it happened two straight years. If it's going to happen 3 years in a row, a lot of things need to be fixed in the desert. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio.
The Keyshawn, J. Will and Max Podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Now we have Kyler Murray. He doesn't follow the Cardinals anymore. If you are part of the Cardinals organization, what are you thinking right now?
We've given this dude everything that he needed to be successful. If he hasn't been successful, that's a him problem.
Why would you not follow your team that you play for on social media?
Oh, man, people trying to tell me.
We just want to know, Kyler. Like, we want
to
know.
I love people trying to tell me, oh, that doesn't mean anything that he unfollowed the card. I'm like, hold up. What universe are we living in? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Oh, Yates, you're a fool. You playing this jam, too?
Time for a little A to Z, gentlemen. So, we're going to get back to the Super Bowl, but 2 years in a row, Super Bowl champion won in its home stadium. So, will the Arizona Cardinals make it three in a row? Think about how they started off 2 years ago, very hot till Kyler got banged up. Last year, they looked like the best team in football through a lot of the year, right? They take another step forward. They got to fix some things if that's going to happen. Because Kyler Murray scrubbed all Cardinals mentions and unfollowed his team on social media platforms. ESPN's Chris Mortensen reports that Kyler feels like he's being made the scapegoat for Arizona's last season swoon and playoff exit. While the Cardinals worry, Murray is self-centered, immature, and one who points fingers, sources told Mort. Here's Key last week on Burns and Gambo on Arizona Sports 98.7 on Kyler Murray.
From what I hear is that he sometimes can be a little stubbornish and a little bratty at times. And when he doesn't get his way, he can, you know, he can kind of jump up and down, basically.
Ooh. How do the Cardinals fix this issue with Kyler, Key?
I don't know how they fix it. I mean, I'm sure they're going to work on it, but I don't think that in that building they're convinced that he is the guy long-term moving forward for them, and I mean long-term beyond next year. And we'll see. I mean, he doesn't like the way that they've been dealing with him and handling his situation. And, you know, he has a unique personality. And when I say kind of, you know, pouty and – you know, stubborn and jumping up and down. He wants to take his ball and go home when it doesn't work out the way that he wants it to work out. And that's just been the case, I guess, with Kyler Murray throughout his college career. And now we're seeing it resurface again with the Cardinals.
Just feel like you have issues with somebody like your team, your franchise. Go tell them what the issues are. Talk. I mean, instead of making it public and getting everybody to react to it by unfollowing everybody, you know, like anybody in 2022 knows that when you unfollow somebody, that's going to be a really big thing that people are going to report on. Like, you're trained to think this way. So I just don't understand why all the added drama when it could just be handled internally.
Well, and Dan Graziano brought up his theories, like, this is just a theory, but like, maybe, you know, they're talking contract. He heard something he didn't like, because otherwise it's a real bad look. And I'll tell you why. If he balled out, but the team looked bad in the playoffs around him, that's one thing. He looked like, Key, I think you said it, a deer in headlights, right? Like in his first playoff appearance. So let's be honest, it's a bad look to look that way and then turn around and point finger at the team. Packers are prepared to push the limits of the salary cap this year and beyond to entice Rodgers to return. The speculation about Rodgers, four-time now MVP and back-to-back winner of the award, continues. Here's Schefter, Adam Schefter, on how the Packers are planning to attack this offseason with Rodgers.
The Green Bay Packers are prepared to go all in to keep Aaron Rodgers. And yes, they're over the salary cap, but they're prepared to spend into future years to do whatever they have to do to keep Aaron Rodgers this year. If that means giving Aaron Rodgers the extension, if that means signing Davante Adams, if that means bringing in other players, if that means hurting their cap in future years, they're willing, ready, and able to do whatever it takes to further entice Aaron Rodgers to remain in Green Bay.
And they should. He gives them the best chance to get back to the Super Bowl and win it. It's his best chance to get back to the Super Bowl and win it. He knows the offense. He knows the players. And look, he should be the highest paid player in the history of the National Football League. He should eclipse Patrick Mahomes by a mile. There's no question about it. I think a lot of people would look and say, well, he's not getting what he wants. Well, now he is getting what he wants. They're willing to do whatever it is. They made the marriage work this past season, continue to make it work. He shouldn't think about leaving and going to Denver or Tennessee. I understand, but this is the best place for him to get back to the Super Bowl. There's no question about it.
Look, I'm fine with Aaron Rodgers leveraging the situation to become the highest paid quarterback. MVPs are out the yin-yang. He brings that cachet to a team, and I think it's becoming more reasonable the more and more time that passes by. You're thinking, it just feels like Green Bay is it. I know Denver is seen to be as an option, but it seems like it's Green Bay.
It's an indictment of Jordan Love, if you ask me. You don't go all in otherwise. Okay, then there's the Indianapolis Colts. Quarterback merry-go-round. Colts are going to go into next season with a sixth different quarterback to start week one. In the last six seasons. Here's Chris Mortensen on what he's hearing about incumbent Carson Wentz.
For Carson Wentz and the Indianapolis Colts, it looks bleak. Yes, the Colts did not give him support verbally after the season, said that they weren't guaranteeing him anything. Well, right now, it looks bleak, and by March 18th, he'll probably be traded or released. That's when his $15 million of his base salary is guaranteed. So for Carson Wentz and the Colts, it looks like it was a one-year marriage that went wrong.
I think when you go back and you look at Jim Irsay from a couple weeks ago, talk about quarterbacks and winning with guys that could help you win. That was the end period for Carson Wentz right there. It was doomsday.
If you're relying on Carson Wentz to be a nice game manager, what's the point in having Carson Wentz? That's not what he does. And if he can't give you the top end stuff anymore, why do you have him? Told everyone 3 years ago he was playing poorly, no one wanted to hear me, and now he's out of a second job, it looks like. Back to the Super Bowl, guys, and how the Rams went all in and hit the jackpot. That's coming up next. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Willimax, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, You're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.